We'll dream how we could hurt them if we could. We don't ever hurt them. But in our imagination, we have maybe whipped them a many a time. Maybe you've shot them in your mind. Because the truth about it is you can do a lot of things in your vivid imagination that you never carry out in reality. And then all of a sudden that one imagination becomes a living reality over a period of time. That's why some people, the spur of the moment, they pull out a gun and shoot somebody else, and because they have absolutely been thinking about all that hurt that has been going to their life and what's been done and what's been said to them. You see, we want to slough off unforgiveness. We want to say, well, it's no big deal, but it is a tremendously big deal in our life, because you can never live one free moment with unforgiveness in your spirit. It's not even possible within your framework. And you see, that's why a lot of people say, well, you know, my husband's moody, my wife's moody, and I don't understand them. I don't understand. They start the day off good, and all of a sudden, you know, it goes from bad to worse. Because the reality of it is, unforgiveness crops up in some of the most odd times in our life. Day's going good, and one thing sets you off. Let me give you an example, something that'll set you off. Maybe you're on vacation and you see somebody that looks like your dad who was alive maybe 60 years ago that absolutely devastated you. And from then on, you don't have any more vacation. I know some people that don't even want to see a certain type of person. You know why? Because they look like the person that hurt them. Maybe you know somebody, you don't like to see them. You don't like to see them because they look so much like that mom, that dad, that neighbor, that brother, that husband, that wife that hurts you. And you see, all unforgiveness always starts with this reality. We get hurt. Now, let me tell you what happens in our lives. And I can tell you from a preacher's standpoint what happened in my life. I just did one thing to try to exist and try to live. I just denied it. Well, that's just the way that person is. Well, that is not what gets you through and how you deal with unforgiveness. But the first thing that happens is we just simply get hurt. And you're here this morning. Now, listen carefully. You're here this morning and you've had years and years and years and years of hurt because maybe this is the first time you've owned up to it. You've owned up to a dad that absolutely made life hell on earth for you. You've owned up to the fact that you had a mother that made life torment for you. Or you've owned up to a husband that absolutely just leveled you. And you see, if you never own up to it, you will never find any freedom when it comes to forgiveness. But the reality of it is, first of all, you and I get hurt. Saul, he listened to these women singing, and he said, they have sung, they have ascribed thousands to me, and they've ascribed 10,000 to David. And he felt rejected. Now listen to me real carefully. There's a lot of things you can handle in your life, but one thing you can never handle, you can never handle rejection. If somebody rejects you, you may not say anything, you may try to pretend, but you cannot humanly handle rejection. That's why a lot of people, when they get all by themselves, first of all, they don't like to be all by themselves. They always want to have somebody around them because they don't have to think about all these other things. Or they've got to have some pills, they've got to have some medicine, they've got to have something to get them to sleep, because when they're alone with their memory, they hear that rejection. Don't you wish you could be like your brother? Don't you wish you could be like your sister? Don't you wish, honey, I wish you'd gone to college like your brother or sister would have. And maybe you're sitting here, you're saying, I've heard of that all my life. I've heard that, you know, that I'd never amount to anything, or I'm not near as smart. And you know what happens? We walk around in life going through the motions. We walk around in life in absolute misery. We can't enjoy God who created us. We can't enjoy our family who He's given us to love. We can't enjoy anything good because we're living in inner misery, and the misery and the poison of unforgiveness. You may not want to believe it, but I'm here to tell you, friend, if you live your life and don't deal with somebody that's hurt you or those people that have hurt you, you will die in misery. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. And you see, in the life of Saul, not only was he hurt, but a second thing that happened We become confused and we become overwhelmed. You see, here's the reality in the life of Saul. We'll parallel it in our day and time. He was the king. He was the king, and surely you should respect the king. And all of a sudden they were uplifting David and they were rejecting Saul. If Saul would have been what he ought to have been, he would have been pleased. He would have been honored that David was doing so well and God had blessed him and God had honored him. But that wasn't the case. Saul, with all of his heart, he was going to get even with David. The Bible says in verse 9 that he eyed David from that day forward. And truth about it is, some of you are trying to get even with somebody else. You're trying to get even with somebody else in your life. Saul was going to make David pay. He wanted to get David in the military, and he wanted to get him in battle so he would get killed because he wanted revenge. It is amazing what happens to us, but the thing about it is we get overwhelmed. You know, and the thing about it is here's somebody in your own house and somebody in your own home, and they do something to you that you never dreamed they would do to you. I've had it happen, you have too, and I had one man, I told you about this before, but it's worth mentioning here again. I was in the aisle of a church, my first pastorate, and deacon in the fellowship said, Benny, what does it say about adding to and taking away from the Word of God? When he said that, I was just dumbfounded. I was doing the best I could as a young preacher, and I'm so glad they were gracious to me. But all of a sudden, I started feeling some things about him because I thought you were supposed to love me. And it was one attack after another attack after another attack. And finally, I just had to say to myself, I hate him. You say, Pastor, that's not easy to say. Listen to me real carefully. If you never own hate, you'll never have forgiveness. Because that was what I was feeling in my heart. And what happens is we get overwhelmed. Here is somebody in our house. Here is somebody that we love. Here is somebody that we're supposed to care for and care for us. And they just absolutely blindside us. I can't believe that my brother would attack me the way he did, or my sister would attack me. And we get all sorts of emotions. And you see, what happens is this. Here was Saul, and he was overwhelmed. He was a little bit confused, and I'm the king, and they have ascribed thousands to me and 10,000s to David, and one thing led to another. That unforgiveness led to jealousy, which led to anger, which led to bitterness, which led to plotting revenge. And you see, on and on and on the scenario goes, because here's what happened. It grows like a tree, and that tree begins to have a whole lot of roots. It has a whole lot of limbs, and all of a sudden, it's almost as though you can't ever deal with it. And in your life, you think, well, I don't know why it's happened to me. I don't know, what have I done? And you see, the truth about it is sometimes you've not done a single thing. Sometimes, here's the reality in life, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt, and here's what the Lord brought me to understand. Benny, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Sometimes you've not done a single thing, but it's designed so I can teach you how to forgive. I wish I could explain with human words how forgiveness has benefited my life and my ministry. I wish I could tell you what it has done. But I think about another dear friend of mine, and if I called his name, you would know him. He's a tremendous black preacher and just a wonderful, genuine friend of mine. And he shares with me some years ago when he was in the city of Corbin, he had some problems, and he talked about all the things that happened to his life. But he said, Benny, I'm not mad at anybody and I'm not upset at anyone. And you see, here's the fact. If you don't own what's happening in your life, you can never have freedom. You see, somebody just may not want to have anything to do with you. Joseph, in the book of Genesis, chapter 37 through 50, you need to read, his brothers threw him away. Why would his brothers throw him away into a pit? And Joseph, I'm sure, was confused and bewildered and dumbfounded when he was in this pit. And why my brothers throw me away? I've not done a single thing to them for them to do this to me. And you see, sometimes we want to blame ourselves when you've not done a single thing. Maybe it's just the fact that you have to learn the toughest lesson and the most wonderful lesson, but it's tough, the lesson of forgiveness. And you see, One reason that Saul became so confused and the reason we become so confused is we just never thought they'd do it to us. I've had people who've sat across from me and they're going through a divorce or going through a crisis. Spouse has left them. And usually these are invariably the words that I hear from time to time. I never thought they'd do that to me. I never dreamed in my wildest dream that they would do that. And then they'll be honest, and I say, they're mad at them, they're angry at them. And that's the second way. You know, we get hurt, we become overwhelmed, we become confused. And then third, how we develop unforgiveness is real simple. We're human, and we don't want to deal with it, so we just look for detours. If I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you like to forgive somebody that's hurt them? I know probably few of you would raise your hand, but if we're honest, it's not easy to deal with somebody, it's not the easiest thing human-wise. But here's the reality. Rather than forgiving the person, here's what we do. We look for detours. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. When we're hurt by another person, maybe it's in a marriage, one of the first things that may happen is a detour. Well, I'm going to go back to mother's. I'm going to go back to my dad's. Or another thing they say to one another is, you know what? We may as well call it quits. Now, listen to me real carefully. I've said this to different people, and I heard it said, and it's one of the wisest statements I've heard. Marriage is not based on love. You say, okay, now, preacher, what's next? Marriage is based on forgiving one another. I heard that statement some years ago, and it's true. Yes, you do love one another. That's a given. But you learn to forgive. And you see, the thing about it is, when Saul was hurt by the women, he didn't immediately forgive David. As a matter of fact, he never forgave David. Read the story and find out what happened in his life, in his soul, in his spirit, because he would never forgive. The first thing, he got angry. Now listen to me very carefully. Some of you have been angry for a long time. You say, how do you know? Because it's simply the way unforgiveness goes. Somebody in your home, in your household, has done something to you or to your family, and you are angry with them, you're mad at them, you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I know what you say, but I'm not ever going to forgive them. You don't have to, but you better expect to go to your grave with complete uncontentment, because that is what will happen. You'll never have a day of peace. You'll never have a day of tranquility. You'll never have a day of happiness. You'll never enjoy this life that God intended you to enjoy. You'll breathe your last breath missing this one God-given life. And how miserable and how sad that is. But you see, in the life of Saul, and in our lives, here's what we do. We take detours. How do you develop unforgiveness? You just simply start taking detours. What do you mean we take detours? Well, we take mental detours. We don't want to think about them. Have you heard about John? I don't want to talk about him. Well, have you heard about his wife, Lucy? Don't want to talk about her either. We don't even want them in our mind. Why? Because any thought about them hurts. Any thought about John and Lucy, whoever they may be, and by the way, if your name's John, I'm not inferring you, and if your name's Lucy, I'm not inferring you. Now listen to me real carefully. That's exactly what happens. We take mental detours. Don't want to think about them. I did my best not to think about that precious man, that first church, until the Lord finally arrested my attention. I didn't want to think about him. Every thought hurt me about him. What he did to me, what he said to me, what he continually did, what he continually said. He wasn't there to be an encouragement to me. He didn't say, Pastor, I'm praying for you. He didn't say, I'm behind you. There was always something negative that it was coming. And you see, we take mental detours. Another way you just try to detour around it is you take those physical detours. Let me explain. Somebody has hurt you. Maybe you both go shopping on the same day. You find out, well, they're going shopping on Tuesday. I'm not going shopping Tuesday anymore. I'm going to go shop on Thursday. Why? You don't want to think about him. You don't even want to see him. Because you think that if I don't have to see him and don't have to think about him, I'm going to be okay. And that is a lie straight out of hell. You'll never be okay. You'll never have contentment. There'll never be joy in your life until you learn to deal with what's going on. And you see, in the life of Saul, the detour he tried to take was not so much get rid of You know, he wasn't going to leave David. He was wanting to get rid of David, kill him. And that's the way some people finally think that it'll work. If I can get you out of my life, if I can get you off the scenes of the earth, I don't have to think about you anymore. Let me tell you what unforgiveness does, though. It invades every part of your thinking process. You can't watch a TV show without thinking. You can't sleep without having those dreams and even those nightmares. You cannot enjoy life because unforgiveness invades you just like a person who's thrown in a water, and that water overcomes him. And you see, maybe reason why a person leaves church too. Let me give you an example. Two people in church, one hurts the other. And so rather than forgiving, here's oftentimes what happens in the world and church. Well, I'm not going to go back to church with her or him anymore. I'll find me another church. When the truth about it is, all they had to do was learn how to forgive. Now, let me ask you a question. Think about this for just a moment. How are you going to live your life away from people that hurt you? You know what will eventually happen? If you don't want to get hurt by people, you will live eventually as a recluse. There are some people who they don't want to be around anybody, and they don't want anybody around them, and so they don't go anywhere. They stay home all the time, and here's why. So they don't have to put up with people. They don't have to put up with people that hurt them. Pretty sad life, though. And that unforgiveness invades us, and finally, what is so sad is we can't enjoy ourselves. Saul couldn't enjoy himself, and that's the most miserable part. One of the realities in my life, and I'll tell you, be transparent with you to try to help you in your walk, I couldn't enjoy me. I honestly got to the point I could not enjoy being with me. And you know, there's one thing you've got to do. I've never found a way to leave yourself. You've always got to go where you go, wherever you are. But here's what I found. I was always finding myself in inner misery. And here's why. I had never learned to forgive. And that hurt with each passing day was like adding poison to my soul. And it's the same way with you. If you're hurt by someone. And see, another thing that happens is this. Number four, we deny we've been hurt. You know, the reason that so many people live with the spirit of unforgiveness in church. Are you a Christian? Yes, been saved a long time. Well, let me ask you about, I don't want to talk about him. But you're a Christian? Don't get on that subject. I don't want to hear it. You see, here's what happens. Sometimes we'll deny we've been hurt. Or we'll say, well, it never happened. You know, that person, he didn't really hurt me. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully. As God stands witness and we're in his presence all the time, there is somebody that is destroying you internally if you'll be honest with yourself. There is somebody that is killing you on the inside if you'd just allow yourself to be honest. But here's what you're doing. No, it's okay. You know what? It's okay to be honest with the Father. It's okay to open up, and it's okay to be transparent. It's okay to tell the Lord, and sometimes it may even be your children, Lord, I'm absolutely so angry, unforgiveness toward what they've done to me over the years. But here's what happens. We pretend. I know. I pretended for at least 6 years. I pretended that everything was all right. Think about it. I would go to church. I would preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and it was killing me. And that's exactly what happened. We pretend like it never happened, or they didn't mean to do it, or, you know, that's just the way they are. I guess that's the biggest one we hear from time to time. That's just the way they are. You know, you have to learn to accept them that way. But here's the facts. When you and I stand in the presence of the Lord, He's going to know the absolute truth that somebody in your life, maybe when you was a child, maybe back here over in this city you lived in or this county you lived in, they made life hell on earth for you, and you really are struggling getting over it. Or it happened at 20 or 25 or 30 or 40, or it may have just happened yesterday. And you see, the thing about it is, there's three character signs that there's unforgiveness. First of all, bitter. Do you know anybody that's bitter? You say, well, that's just their disposition. No, no one is just bitter. Bitterness comes through a process of things that have happened to your life. If you're bitter, that's a good indication that there is unforgiveness. Saul became bitter. Why did he become bitter? Because here was this man that everybody sang his praises, and Saul wasn't pleased. He wasn't proud. He was mad. He was angry. He had unforgiveness in his heart, and that unforgiveness went to bitterness. Listen, I say this to mothers and dads and fathers and grandfathers. Do you want your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to look at you as a bitter older man or older woman? And see, you've been around long enough, and I have too. Boy, don't get around my dad. Don't get around my grandpa. Man, he's the crankiest person. God didn't birth you to be cranky. But it happens because we don't forgive. And not only bitterness, but a second factor is this, through temper. There's some people, and when, you know, now, every one of us probably have a temper that can, but there's some people that say, well, you've got to be careful. They got a short fuse. And maybe you're in a household and you're living in a household and you think, man, I have to walk on tiptoes. Why are you walking on tiptoes? Because maybe that spouse in your house or maybe a brother, sister, whoever it is, you don't know when they'll explode. And the truth about it is, I can tell you this, if your spouse would be honest, they despise living that way. Oh, they're not going to leave you. They love you too much. But they despise walking around on tiptoes like, when are you going to explode toward me? I do know this. God has been gracious to some people in taking the spouse out so he or she wouldn't have to put up with it any longer. I know one precious lady, God took her out of a situation because all she had to do was walk around on tiptoes. And she was a precious woman of God and desired to obey the Lord. And God finally got her out of that situation and brought her home through death. Listen to me real carefully. God is always serious about your life. He's always serious because he doesn't want you to miss this one God-given life. He doesn't want you to miss life at its best. Then another thing that happens is just negative behavior. You ever know those who just can't speak positive about anybody or anything? If there's that temper and that bitterness and that negative behavior, then chances are, sir, ma'am, whoever you are, there is somebody in your life that you've not forgiven. And here's the thing about it. You turn around and bow your head and pray to the Lord God, and you ask him to forgive you. Here's what the Lord says. If you won't forgive him, why should I forgive you? And the Lord said there will be torment, according to Matthew 18, there will be torment in your soul till your last breathing breath when you don't forgive. That's why so many people, you look at them and they say, I'm a Christian. And you say, okay, now prove it. But you see, here's the reality. In the life of Saul, you really need to look at his life. He lived a miserable, miserable, miserable life. And finally, he decided that's enough. Misery. He took his own life. Here's the good news, though. You don't have to live life like Saul did. You don't have to live that type of life. Listen, I want you to hear me say something very clear. God wants for you a life of freedom. Now, in your outline, or in your bulletin this morning, and I want you to grab it, I want you to get it out. There is a prayer. And I want you to look at it. Let's put it there deliberately so you can have. This is a prayer that if you will make it your business to practice, it will set your life free. And I just want to read it out loud. Lord, I know that you've forgiven me of all my sins over 2,000 years ago. I realize there is nothing that I can do but what you have already forgiven me. Lord, I realize that since you have forgiven me, you give me the ability to forgive anyone and everyone who has hurt me, whether they're alive or dead. Right now, this minute, I choose to forgive. And you name the person, and you name the action, what they've done. I forgive them, and I release them completely. They never owe me an apology, any money, anything. I completely forgive them of what they have done to me. I release them and set them free. Lord God, not only do I release them, but I choose to forgive myself for holding unforgiveness in my heart. I choose through the blood of Christ to set myself free. Thank you so much that you will always enable me to forgive anyone who hurts me. In Christ I pray. Amen. Now listen to me real carefully. I didn't get that out of a book. Well, I got it out of this book, out of the overflow of experience. This is almost the prayer verbatim. One day when I was in my 20s that I prayed, and I said, Lord, and whoever hurt me, I choose to forgive them. And I can tell you this, it works. It works to anybody that will do it. You see, here's the reality. Here's the truth. God has forgiven you. If you're a child of God, God has forgiven you at the cross 2,000 years ago. Amen? Since he forgave you and you invited Christ into your life, he gives you the power to forgive if you're a Christian. Think about a moment. Christ lives on the inside of you. Since Christ lives on the inside of you, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Now, I want you to connect the dots. If Christ lives on the inside of me and I can do all things through Christ, I can forgive anybody, whether they're alive or dead, of what they've done to me. I can forgive a dad. I can forgive a mom. I can forgive a brother. I can forgive a, and you can name the names. But here's the reality. You have to yearn to take the journey into forgiveness. Nobody can do it for you. Just like no one can be saved for you, no one can forgive for you but you. And you see, the truth about it is, that's where a lot of people stop. So I don't understand this life. Let me tell you why. A lot of people just won't take responsibility. It's not fun to admit that you have ill will in your heart. I can tell you, it's not fun to bow your head and say, Lord, I hate so-and-so. But I can tell you this, it's a lot better than the options of letting it fester and seethe and boil and boil and boil and boil. You see, you have to answer this question. What type of life do you want? Do you want a life characterized by joy and love and wonder and amazement and just fantastic? Or do you want a life where you will shrivel up and die? If you do, just stay angry, have unforgiveness, keep holding bitterness, and that's what will happen. But you see, the truth about it is, if we forgive, just like the verse shared, judge not, you'll not be judged. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. There is an excitement, there is a joy when you choose to forgive. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for speaking to us through your word this morning. And Father, I pray that your precious, abiding Holy Spirit will deal with those lives this morning. Maybe there's private decisions that need to be made about unforgiveness. Maybe there's a person here that needs Jesus Christ. They need the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. I pray for them, Father. I pray that they would come to faith in Christ. I pray that they would walk down this aisle and give Jesus their life. Because you don't give anything but the best. You can't. That's just who you are. Father, I pray for that person who has unforgiveness in her heart or his heart, and it's been there for a long time. Father, maybe they need to just pray silently where they are, or maybe they need to come. Have your will and your way in this invitation. It's our prayer in Jesus we pray. Amen.